Hi everyone, this is Renee Rentmeester. I'm creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have an extra special guest. We've got Mr. Ed Davis from California. Ed, welcome.
Well, welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about me. I'm born and raised here in the LA, South Central area. Became legally blind in 1984. Became totally blind in nine I'm sorry, 2008, and became a member of the NFB, I guess, around 2013, and just been doing my thing with them and trying to do everything I can for the blind community ever since.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you went blind. Was it something that happened to you, or you an accident, or what happened?
It was actually an accident, Renee. I used to ride motorcycles. I was a truck driver, and
Oh.
I had a motorcycle accident back in 1984, and this is all pre-helmet laws.
Ah, I
So, I
see.
mean, number one, I did not have a helmet on. But also, it was a freaky kind of thing to where the doctors actually told me if I would have had my helmet on, I'd probably be dead right now.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, I've ridden on the back of motorcycles, and yeah, I know we had our helmet on, but if you're riding at a distance or anything, you never quite know what's going to happen. And you've got the people on the other side, coming towards you, driving. You never know what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that's kind of what happened. I wasn't on the freeway or nothing. I was on the surface streets, and a lady just did not see me because of traffic. There was a van out in front of me in the left lane, and the lady couldn't see me because of the van. Same reason I couldn't see her. And she was waiting to make a left turn, and when the van passed, she started her turn, and I went right in the quarter panel.
Oh my God. Well, how did you deal with, losing your eyesight?
I mean, I think I did, like all of us. I mean, at that point, Renee, I mean, it was still about, trying to deal with, what I was right in front of me, which was, all of the reconstructive surgery because I broke my entire face. So
Oh my gosh.
they had to reconstruct all of that. From what I understand, the doctors did a pretty good job. I pretty much looked like I did before it happened. Then I had to deal with the vision side of it, where I lost one eye. Both eyes were cut up. One was in five pieces, one was in two pieces.
Oh.
The doctors, at Jill Stein out here at UCLA, they sewed everything back together, and the one eye was, had it was no life, so they went ahead and took it the left eye. The right eye, after sewing it back together, it had some life still left in it, so they, proceeded to do what they could to save it, and in which they did. And let me see, I was in the hospital originally 28 days. I went home for I think about a week. Then I went back into the Jill Stein Hospital themselves. They did a retina surgery, and when I walked out of there, I had glasses on and had some vision.
Wow, I didn't even know you could sew an eye together. I've never heard of that before. That is wild.
Well, it was pretty amazing. I mean, it took me a while to get, the proper glasses and so on and so forth. But after a couple of years, I was actually able to drive a car again.
Oh, you're kidding me. Wow.
No, I actually started driving again. The accident was 84. I started driving again in 86, and I drove all the way until 2003.
Do you miss driving?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's the main thing I miss, but I mean, now once I went total by 08, I quit driving in 03. By 08, I was total. Yeah, I went through that depression that we all go through, of course,
Sure.
and then I just sitting there watching my wife and her, working two jobs, trying to maintain the family and stuff. I just, you know what? I need to get up off my butt and I need to do something to try to help out this family. The work I'm doing around the house is not enough.
Sure.
So I got up and went to, Davidson Program for Independence out here in LA and got my, which is a training center for the blind, and got my skills, and I ain't looked back since.
Well, that is great. What an amazing story. Yeah, they always say that you go through a depression right at first. It's like sort of like you're in a crossroads, isn't it?
And again, because, as most of us that have lost our sight in life, chances are we never knew any blind individuals before we lost our sight. And
Exactly.
one of the greatest things for me was, I was caught up thinking, my life is over, woe is me, all that kind of stuff. But once I got down to that training center, I realized, Ed, you ain't got it as bad as you think you do. You
I
know,
know.
there's definitely people out here that's got, a harder road in front of them than you do. And I just concentrated on learning my skills and, moving forward.
Was the most interesting thing you've learned from your blindness?
Well, one thing I say that is a blessing now, and I think we all do it without even thinking about it, I'm no longer able to judge people on their appearance.
Do you?
Now I listen to people. I just, I listen to who they are instead of looking at what I think they are.
Do you get a vibe from them?
What's that old adage? You learn more by listening than you do talking.
Right. And you can't tell a book by its cover?
That's it, all of that.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you know what? That is a good point. Because we all do it. We all look at people and we have these things come up, but when you can't see, you only have your feelings and your thoughts about whatever that person is.
Right. Imagine, I'm 65 now, so I can just remember, walking through Hollywood and seeing all the punk rockers when that thing first started, and all these, the colored mohawks and spikes and piercings, and you kind of prejudge these people just on their appearance,
Right.
but you never actually take time to talk to them and, find out who they are and what they're about,
Maybe you're a little afraid to talk to
Well, that too,
the
that too. Especially me being out here in Hollywood, we had some, woo, they were really out there with that, they actually had like what we call rooster mohawks.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
didn't Mr. T have like a mohawk?
Yes, he did. He was actually the first one to go mainstream with a mohawk.
I got a chance to meet him once. He's amazingly small. You would think he was like a great big tall guy, but he's sort of short.
I've met him as well. He is very short, but he's very how can I say, buff. He's very muscular, and he started his career as a bodyguard.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was a bouncer and stuff like that, and his first time on TV was a show about bodyguards.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that at
Yeah,
all.
that's how he got his break, and then he ended up on Mr. T. I mean, not Mr. T, on the A-Team.
Yeah. Well, how did your family take getting used to your blindness?
It was an adjustment for my wife. Let me see. Just so we're clear, I've been married twice. I was with my second wife.
Messages currently
And
being used in text message.
let me, I don't like that talking.
One moment muted. Bag folder, 6 amps, speech off.
I'm sorry. So I had a set of twins with my second wife when I had my accident. My middle child with my second wife was born right after my accident. And then my last child with my second wife was born a year later. So, they kind of grew up with it,
Sure.
I mean, the older kids were even, by my first wife, which I have two, they were, I mean, they were young. They, so I mean, it wasn't like, they, again, they were very young. I don't even think they were in junior high school yet.
Do you think that growing up with a dad who is blind or visually impaired, do you think it taught them some compassion?
Yes, it did. I mean, I've literally had that middle child that was born right after my accident. I've actually had her pull over and help blind people as she's traveling around the city, and oh no, you need to get out the middle of the street. Let me help you get over here to the
Oh.
sidewalk, that kind of stuff. And and then she would put them in contact with me,
And
you
then
know.
you taught them the ropes.
Or at least pointed them in the right direction. It's all about resources as blind. For those of us that have lost our sight due for whatever reason, like we go to the ophthalmologist and they're working on our eyes, working on our eyes. And then at some point they just say, okay, look, you're going blind. There's nothing we can really do at this point. Okay, well, they don't tell you what's next. They don't have any resources. They don't point you in the right direction so that you can continue to live your life.
Yeah, that must be like frustrating.
It is, it is. And that's where I'm at now. That's the place I'm at now where I'm trying to be that resource.
And that's how we met because your California NFB organization reached out to me to cook with you guys. We have our cook along.
Right, in our interest groups, that's a concept I came up with. That's one of my positions with the NFB out here in California. I'm the chairperson for the D&I committee as well as vice president for my chapter. But within my position as D&I committee, my job is to try to make sure everybody feels included and and all that kind of stuff. There's no discrimination and all these other things, but. So as I was, going through that process, I was, okay, what can I do to help try to make the NFB better and people feel more included? And I came up with this concept for the interest groups, and I took it to my president, which you met Cheryl, and Cheryl is she's also on the state board out here. So she thought about it and she said, you know what, Ed, that's a really good idea. She took it to the board. And boom, here we are. So now we started off. The first month was July, and we only had like seven or eight interest groups. And now here we are, August, our second month, and we have over 15 interest groups. So
Wow.
it's really, really growing. And I'm so grateful you decided to join with us.
Oh, I had a great time. I've never actually done that before.
Well, I mean, and I'm finding that each and every group that I've attended, we have a lot of fun. There's a lot of interaction. There's a lot of, how can I say, just networking with people.
Sure. And it helps because I think a lot of times maybe people who are blind or visually impaired don't want to reach out, and this gives some activities so that you can even be at home and doing activities and enjoying other people.
Exactly. And that's what it was all about. Just giving people a way to connect with other blind people, and also one of my main issues that I wanted to make sure was perfectly clear. You do not have to be a member of the NFB in order to participate in these groups, as you know, because
Right.
you're not an NFB member and we love you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, that's always good to mention because sometimes you get the feeling that certain organizations don't want you to mingle with their organization. It's like this little a line of a sort of like a little line of delineation between organizations, and that's a really good point. Anyone can participate.
Anyone, I don't care what organization you belong to, whether you belong to an organization or not, if you're blind or visually impaired, and I'm gonna be honest, it's all geared toward the blind, visually impaired.
Sure.
But if you're sighted and want to learn more about the blind and visually impaired, you're welcome to come participate as well.
Right. And we had a great time cooking. Tell us a little bit about your chili recipe, which is going to be on our website.
Okay, well, it's one dish that I've learned, and I mean, it's nothing really special, really. I actually got it from my mother growing up. So this was the way she used to do it. So, I mean, I just make a pot of chili. I use a block of chili. I mean, I don't know what brand you have down there in Florida, but out here we use either Excellent or Dolores's. You know, it's just that little solid block of chili con carne.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I mean, they got them everywhere. It just may be different brands.
Sure.
Okay, and then so you just get the block of chili. I believe I got it at 2 32-ounce cans, and what I and I'm saying 32-ounce because I remember they're the short fat cans. You know, yeah, the short fat cans. So I take those. I put the beans in my crock pot. I take them. You know, I. It's got the like the tofu tubs that you get your tofu in. It's got
Right,
that
right.
plastic tub with the plastic cover on it. So I just cut that cover off, and then I just kind of take my knife and cut it into like little squares, and then I take my fork and kind of just scrape across it, and I just basically breaking the block chili up as I add it to the beans. You understand? In the crock pot. Okay, then I stir it in and set it on auto and let it start cooking. And then I go out and I grab a couple pounds of ground beef. And this is my recipe. I say I prefer to use the lean 98% just so I don't have to worry about draining the grease off. I mean, chili's greasy already, but you don't need to add any extra.
I saw that in your recipe. I'm like, oh, that's ingenious. You just buy the low fat one instead of the one with, all the fat, and you have to drain it and it gets
Right. I mean,
greasy.
plus with us being blind, it becomes a hassle to try to drain that grease off.
It's so messy.
So I take and then I use a couple Louisiana hot links, whatever brand's available to you, whatever
That
brand.
was cool because I've never seen that in chili. So that's like the Ed Davis mark of distinction in your chili.
Yes, I guess that would be, so then I kind of like as I said in the recipe, I cut them in, the strips of four equal, four strips, cut it in four. So I got four strips out of each hot link. And then I cut them down into, little small pieces. And I add them in the pan before I add the ground beef. But I cook them with the ground beef so that the flavor of the hot links also gets into the ground beef.
Oh, nice.
And then I just simmer that until it's done, and then once it's done, I add it into the crock pot with the rest of the ingredients and stir it up and let it cook for at least an hour in a crock pot, So I probably let it cook a little longer than that because I'm one of the people I like to get up and do that early.
Yep, I
You
hear
know.
you.
I get up, I do it early, and then, after about an hour or so, I might go in there and turn it down on low or medium, until later on in the day. Actually, even on low, it's still hot enough to eat at night.
Right. And I'm like that too. I like to get up early and cook, and then you have your food all day long. You don't have to worry about making anything at supper time or whenever.
Right, exactly. Now when I'm doing this to take somewhere else, because we do quite a few things where we go out and hang out and whatever, and somebody requests for me to bring my chili, I'll actually cook it the day before and then let it cool and then set the pot out of the crock pot in the refrigerator. And then it just has that chance to let everything kind of, all the juices flow together and all that kind of stuff. It's actually better the next day.
They say that. They say that. And spaghetti sauce, the same thing. It tastes better the next day.
Right. It's just you're giving giving the opportunity for all of the seasonings to soak into the meat.
I'm still fascinated about that sausage. Where did you get that idea? Is that from your mom or was that something that
No,
you?
that's something I came up with. I love hot links.
And
I
what a
mean,
great idea. I'm gonna try that next time I make chili.
you know, and then again, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be whatever type of sausage you want. I mean, it doesn't have to be ground beef. It could be ground turkey or whatever, you know.
Sure. Well, chili is one of those things that, it's you make it your own. There's like a trillion different ways of making chili.
Exactly. And I just, for me, this is the most simplest form. I mean, pretty much all the products are, like I said, the block chili. I ain't got to go through, all the chili powder and all that stuff trying to create a chili. I just buy a block of chili. I like those two that I mentioned out here, the Excellent or the Delores's, and then the beans. I mean, of course, as we were discussing on your show, I mean, of course, in the beginning, I used to buy nothing but Hunt's, and now I understand that, okay, well, Hunt's is packaging chili beans for other people. So I might buy the store brand now,
Yeah, that's like we were talking the other night that store brands are often the big name brands only just with a different label on.
So I don't stress on that anymore. It used to be, oh, if it ain't Hunt's, I don't want it. But
I'm a huntsman. It's hunts or bust.
right. Well, I mean, that's what my mom used growing up, but again, we didn't have all the store brands or all that kind of stuff back then either. So
Well, yeah, for a while it turned into instead of having a store brand, it was generic, so everything had a black and white label on it.
right. Out here we call it what, a white label or whatever it was. I forget what it was, but it was a white label with a blue la white
Yeah,
label
it
with
was
blue writing on it. Yeah,
the most
just
basic label.
yeah, most basic label, like you said. So but
Always
I mean,
made
I found out it works out fine. I mean,
sure, exactly. Well, Eric.
and then also one more thing, and then we can move on. Also, as we were discussing on your show, this is also a dish to where, like, you eat it tonight, let the crock pot cool, and put it in the refrigerator. The next morning, when you get up, it's all solidified. You can now take and spoon that out and put it into either containers or Ziplocs and throw it in your freezer. And now you got chili for the next month.
Exactly, anytime you want it, even as a midnight snack.
Exactly. Just pull it out, zap it, and you move. Wow, I got a nice big bowl of chili.
And you like to put cheese on yours, some sharp cheddar cheese.
Yes, I like sharp cheddar cheese on mine with some club crackers on the side. I know people that like to put them over rice. Another favorite of mine is to also put them over the top of tamales.
Now that was another idea I had never heard of, but that is a great idea. I'm gonna try that myself because I love tamales.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try that. I can have a tamale for a dinner, just eat it all by itself. So I'm gonna try it with the chili.
No problem. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, thank you. Between that, the hot sausage and the tamale idea, we'll make some guests. Well, Ed, if anyone wants to reach out to you or to become part of one of the interest groups, how do they do that?
Okay, well, my personal page on Facebook is actually Ed Davis. And I'm pretty sure you, like you said, I gave you my photo so they can look at that and make sure they got the
Yeah, Ed
right
Davis, yep.
guy. Excuse me. The only difference is, well, you ain't got the camera on now. I mean, I had hair in the photo. Now I don't have any hair, but anyway, that, and then if you want to do something with the interest groups, just go to search the groups and search NFB interest groups, and then you'll find us there. It's a public group. You're free to join, and the schedule for the interest groups will be pinned to the top of the postings every month, the new schedule. So right now the August schedule is pinned to the top. It has all the information about the groups. It has all the Zoom information to join in. We're only using the one Zoom link. It's a recurring link, so you never have to worry about, Do I have the right link or none of that? It's always the same link,
Oh, good, good.
I put on there that if you're interested in a group, it's good to go ahead and email the group leader, which you're one of. And then that way they can email you and you might be able to give them a little bit more information about what you're going to do that in your next meeting. You might be able to, maybe put out a reminder to them, about, hey, my group is coming up on, whatever date, just little stuff like that. And that's also a way for them to, offer suggestions to us about, things we can do within the group, so that, and then, on the other side, I do have a YouTube channel myself. It really has nothing to do with NFB or not anything, and it's necessarily blindness. It's just me, my platform, it's a different side of me, and that one would be on YouTube, First Amendment Ed.
First Amendment Ed.
Yes.
Alrighty, because I know that was your email too when I am. Well, Ed, thank you so much for being a part of us today. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And your recipe, your chili recipe, is going to be up on our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And you're also going to be on our YouTube, our Cooking Without Looking YouTube channel. And you can get this podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And again, thank you, Ed, for helping us change the way we see blindness. You have a wonderful day.
You too, Renee. I really appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you too, Ed. Thank you.